Power Hour Sports Worldwide.
All right, as I promised you that the last 15 minutes of the show, and I'm glad he's been able to make it. I know what a tired human being he must be. You also heard from Stix early on when we spoke to her that, you know, the ladies are tired, and we understand. The beautiful thing is that they come back tired as champions. They come back tired with glory and victory that we haven't seen as far as women's football is concerned. And I think a lot of you have been waiting with bated breath to hear from the man who's at the forefront, who's at the leadership, who is the president of the South African Football Association. Just from his word, firstly, to get a response about the kind of reception that they met when they got to the airport and what his feeling is right now. Dr. Danny Jordan, good to see you. Congratulations as you welcome back as champions.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back in the country. It's been a long time in Morocco, but it's even greater to be here as the best team on the continent and as the champions. It's just wonderful. The reception and the welcome at the airport was just overwhelming. You know, right from the officials at passport control inside, they left their posts and start, exposing them, yeah. Starting dancing and celebrating because this team is just special, not just on the field. Off the field, they're dancing, singing. I have never seen a group of players so focused. When they have their breakfast, they take a walk together, they come back. There was no argument, no issues. They have what the Americans call the boom box. It's a big...
Speakers.
And then they walk in the street playing and dancing and singing. But they were determined. They say, we are not going to let the people of our country down. We are going to win this tournament. And look, when Temby got injured, of course, we didn't think it was serious. But then when the medical reports came, we thought it was quite a blow. But they rallied. And I must say that Jermaine, I told her, I said, Jermaine, I've never seen you play like this. She was tackling, running, battling there in the midfield up front. And the passes that she gave to Hilda, both of those goals in the first one against Nigeria and this one, I said, you have seen just the best of yourself in this tournament. It was just everyone making contact. Of course, at the back, Noko Maslo, old warhorse at 37 years old, and Bambanani Mbane, which I think was one of the best defenders in this tournament. They closed them off. And when we had won, they were prepared to defend the one and went through with an unbeaten record in this tournament. Of course, one must give credit. It's difficult to start naming people.
Yeah.
But Andile Dlamini, who is voted in the CAF Champions League final, and in that tournament she was voted the best goalkeeper on the continent, and again, the best goalkeeper of the tournament. She's just a wonderful human being.
Consistency, doesn't it say?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. And when you have a goalkeeper that can stabilize things and that you can know, you can shoot, okay.
Yeah.
Goalkeeper will handle it. And we don't have tall defenders. And therefore, on the corners and the crosses, she was very, very vital. Mm. And of course, she came through and she's unhappy that they scored against us. She said, I wanted to have a clean sheet. I said, if you win, it's a clean sheet. It's okay.
Especially the final where you're conceding just a solitary goal. You can always make it up by not conceding another goal. And you know, North African, they specialize in all sorts of gimmicks and tactics, looking for a penalty, diving in the box, real desperate stuff. But when you reflect back on this arduous journey that women's football has been all about, when you reflect on the fight still to get the professionalization of a league going, but then you get the Tembis, the Refilwes, the Jermaines, and everybody else who now plies their trade overseas, and you see the improvement within that, and others that still want to go over there. What does that say about just the sheer raw talent that we have right here.
It's just amazing to see the transformation in these girls. Mm-hmm. Of course, Desiree only included 8 of the overseas-based players in a team. Mm-hmm. We have more than 20. Well, they are going forward and back. But we had 27 women players playing in all over. Of course, in America as well. And you have girls playing in Korea, in Belarus, mm-hmm. right through Europe into the United States. But now she have to go and look at all of them. And we need to make sure that we get particularly the next generation of players so that both inside and outside we build a base for better competitive players, because they have set the bar high. Our job now is to maintain it. And these are two things that we have to do. One, we have to have a fully professional Hollywood Bets League. And the key there is to get broadcast revenue. That's the point that I made, that if you get broadcast revenue for women's football, the question of pay parity is over. Because you'll find that the men are paid 2.8 billion rand for broadcast, 1.4 billion. And Banyana, not a single penny. Not a cent. Nothing.
What is preventing the broadcast rights from happening? Because surely there's a hunger, there's a desire for live football, and especially the women's game, given the profile.
I think, as it happened, there's almost a revolution in globally on women's football. Look, women's football were largely ignored. Not serious. And first, the World Cup in Canada, and then the World Cup in France in particular, because it was a World Cup in Europe. So the broadcast was interested. The others were held in China. There's less interest. So I think the trigger was the 2019 Women's World Cup in France, and you could see the explosion after that. If you look now at England, every one of the English Premier League clubs have a women's team.
Yep.
You go to Spain, as I said today, when Barcelona women played Real Madrid women, you had 90,000 people in the stadium. The match, England versus Austria, at Old Trafford, 70,000 spectators. You look at the final of this AFCON for the first time, when we play now against Morocco, 60,000 people and another 20,000 outside. When we were driving towards the stadium, that was about an hour before, we saw these people walking and standing along the road miles and miles down towards the stadium. When we came into the stadium, it was packed. And that shows you the mental strength of these players, because you saw them with their lasers, with their firecrackers, with their dancing and shouting and booing of the team. And they had to be strong. So this victory is a victory for a team that was really focused, that's mentally strong, and that players who have matured. And those players have helped the others. And so it's a great day for women's football in our country. And that's why the only two outstanding matters that we now have to resolve. One, we have to accelerate the professional league where players can be full-time and have a living wage from playing.
Yeah.
And second thing that we have to do, and that is to address the question of pay parity.
Parity, yeah.
I discussed this thing with Ronwen Williams.
Yeah.
I said we have to talk about it, because we can't discuss it without discussing it with Bafana as well.
Well, it's absolutely important. I want to shoot through to a WhatsApp voice note that there have been gazillions that have been coming in pure celebration of women. This one is particularly, I think, directed to you.
Hi, Rob. This is Andrew from Rodipot. Rob, I would like to give great accolades to Safa and Dr. Jordan. You know, we might always castigate them for wrong things that they are doing or things that they are not doing. But when it comes to Banyana Banyana, we have to say that it's 10 out of 10 because they believed in Banyana before anyone could believe in the team. They always had Sasso on their backs and make sure that they pump a lot of money into the Banyana Banyana brand. And furthermore, Rob, if it wasn't for Safa, we wouldn't have Hollywood Bets. And it's very, very a big accomplishment that Hollywood Bets is still sponsoring the teams without, you know, I would say so-called big two teams of Gauteng. You know, you only have the, your Sundowns, your Celtics, your UCT and the likes of University of Johannesburg and other teams that I don't know are unknown. But Hollywood Bets is still, you know, sponsoring the Hollywood, still sponsoring the league. So this is a very, I would say, a big accolade and a feather on Safa's cap. And we need to thank Dr. Jordan under his leadership for always steering the ship to make sure that Banyana are always active and Banyana get what they deserve. Thanks, Rob.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Hayi imali incane incane kakhulu kakhulu le mali nikeza osisi laba yabona nje uma ubuka 200,000 all right or 2 room nje thina sihlala emalokishini asike si 240,000 50,000 usala nomalini 150,000 athenga imoto yamalini ayincane lo mali abangadlali ngosisi ababanikeza imali Mr. Mara ngiyabonga.
All right, so just quickly because we are going to have to go, Andrew was praising the work that you guys have been done, and obviously you come under a lot of criticism for other things, but giving you full marks for the ladies' involvement. Maybe let's quickly clear, well, this seems to be an ongoing thing. The prize money or the bonus structure, no, there was additional money, 5.8, that came through from the department. There was the 9.2 that was mentioned. There's also the money that is there for winning the tournament. What is your understanding of the financial breakdown?
You see, first of all, for the CAF tournament, it is the federation that fills in the form and enter its team. And therefore, CAF will pay the money to the federation. Now, even before that announcement was made as to what prize money will be awarded, we called a press conference. We had a meeting with the players and we asked them, one of the things that's a problem on the continent, that when you have a good team going to a major competition, somewhere along the line, you find in the dressing room, instead of focusing on the match, they're discussing bonus. Let us sit down and agree. What is it that you would be happy with? And we agreed 400,000, which will equate to 1.2 million. And that is a public announcement that we made. That is our commitment. Nothing else was on the table. So that is our commitment.
It's the 9.2.
9.2 million, yeah. And we will pay each player 400,000. When we came back, there were all sorts of offers, and we have nothing. So over the next few days, we will have to sit down. Because remember, there's not just the players. There is a technical staff. And I had a meeting with them in Rabat on the very question to say, but we can't forget you. You can't have only players on the field. There are these, and they also are adults. They have families. They also look forward to get a bonus for the work that they've done. So, unfortunately, those are issues that we have to sit down and discuss with them. We only won on Saturday, and we only arrived back today. So, obviously, we did not discuss it. But what we said... And I said to them, I don't want players to talk about anything else. You must bring that cup home. And I gave them the examples of 1998, Nigeria, had Sunday Olesia, J.J. Okocha, Daniel Amokachi. Man, the list is endless. We thought because they won the Olympics in 1996 that they will win or at least be in the final in 1998. Second round, there is a debate on bonuses. Then you have Ghana, who made it to the quarterfinal in South Africa. We thought 2014 in Brazil, they would be in the finals. What happened? Discussing bonuses and the team defocused.
So just a quick one.
So we wanted to deal with that issue.
So 9.2 definitely from SAFA.
That is guaranteed.
The Department of Sport with their 5.8 is definitely something obviously away from you, but that's going to come through. Then there's the prize money for CAF.
No,
for
the prize money is paid to SAFA.
Yeah.
So SAFA will have to take a decision. That's why I say what we said to the finance department. Look, put everybody in.
Mm-hmm.
What we guarantee the players is 400,000. Now you have to put every player, technical staff, coaches, everybody. You also have to take in all of the costs.
Mm-hmm.
There are bills to be paid. We are paying the medical cost of Tembe, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So put all those things, give us the budget, let us discuss. But we want, it seems that we may be able to go beyond the 400,000.
Oh, but love that. So we'll get an update.
We don't have a number beyond the 400,000 as a public announcement and commitment.
Yeah. And you meet in the president tomorrow of the country.
Yeah, we're greeting the president of the country.
Oh, well, we'll hear what he says. You never know. Maybe Eskom is generating different energy and might
I think Eskom must not give us money. They must give us electricity. We'll be happy.
On that bright and positive note, thanks so much for popping in. I know how tired you are, but
it's a pleasure.
We'll have Desiree Ellis on Thursday.
Oh, that's good.
And another lady who has spoken about forming a ladies' team, which is Umam Khize.
No.
She might be sitting where you're sitting tomorrow as well. I just have to double negotiate with her.
Yeah. No.
Which is a positive.
We have one team dominating both men and women football. It's time that the other clubs must come in.
Dr. Danny Judon, President of SAFA, I thank you so
much indeed.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Catch you again tomorrow.